Hi everyone, this is Matt Price, host of Dynasty Game Night. My co-host John Bosch and I created this podcast for one reason, to focus on fun. After all, fun is the reason we all started playing fantasy football in the first place. I love games of all sorts, card games, board games, video games, really any kind of game you can think of. So one day, John and I decided it was time for a podcast where we just play games. You might learn something along the way, but you won't find much hard-hitting analysis here. Check out all the other incredible podcasts DLF has to offer for that sort of thing. On Dynasty Game Night, our primary focus is to entertain. So if you like playing games or watching game shows, this might just be the podcast for you. We'd love for you to give it a listen and play along with the contestants and maybe even win a chance to be on the show.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse if you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win if I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges I yearn. For the feeling I earn, I'ma win it's a turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm laying. I'm an addict, Russ and Brian are the names. Trade addicts pod, let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Brian Haar, and I also have a trading problem.
I'm Andrew, the Mandrew Harbaugh, and it sounds like Russ and Brian do have a trading problem because they can't make a trade with each other.
It's a very different kind of problem than we said in the first place, yes. Brian has been stringing me along for 3 weeks. I'm trying to give him Saquon, but clearly he just hates Saquon now, so that's the new Brian. And Justin Herbert is the next Patrick Mahomes, and Patrick Mahomes is trash because Justin Herbert QB1. Now keep in mind, Brian has said none of this. I'm just putting those words into his mouth because that's the way he treats me when we talk about trades, that this is just how I feel by now. Oh, and no, you don't get to talk. So, hey, everybody, welcome to session 129 of the Trade Addicts podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, also a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts podcast network, the DAP network, if you will, and we will. Okay, Brian, respond in some way, shape, or form that could lead me to believe anything besides what I just told you, that you strung me along for 3 weeks trying to give you Saquon Barkley, and you just kept saying no.
So all I can say is, I mean, it's worked out for me okay. I mean, Justin Herbert's value's gone up by at least a first, maybe two in that time frame. So, I mean, I'm glad I held, I guess. But, yeah, no, I'm not purposefully stringing you along. I'm having a hard time with the particular players that you were requesting in return. So that's pretty much it. Yeah. I mean,
we're gonna talk about it later. To be fair, because
to be fair,
I make you so happy that you're watching that show. Do you watch Letterkenny, Andrew? You're still muted, but you said no. You should. It's hilarious.
First time. Sorry. No, I don't.
Yeah. You should. It's awesome. I have another kind of trading problem. I made a move based on a move I thought I was going to be able to get done. I really thought I was going to be able to sell Saquon and get Herbert back. And my team was bad and I was rebuilding anyway, but it got a lot worse because I didn't pull that trade off. But again, we're going to get to that later. It is Justin Herbert season. That's all I know what to say. Last I checked, he was 9 of 12 for like 105 yards and 3 touchdowns. And it is anti Philip Rivers and Drew Brees seasons because they are toast. That's pretty much how I feel about this season. Sucks, man. Like injuries and everything. Like I almost say it's like taking the fun out of fantasy football, but I'm in so many leagues that I probably have 3 or 4 leagues that aren't super affected on my teams. So I still have a little bit of fun, but like if you're like one of those people that's in like 2 leagues, this has to be rough. Like, kind of rough.
I have 9 leagues I have to set lineups for. And depending on who you talk to, I don't set lineups.
I set them poorly.
Exactly. That'll be my excuse. But like with this example, Sunday, with the whole thing with Buffalo and Tennessee, I benched all my Titans and I benched all my Bills. Cause I'm like, I'm not doing this on Tuesday. You can't do it on Tuesday because there's nobody you can switch to. I would rather get burned by benching, say, a Cole Beasley or a Josh Allen and picking up somebody else than having a zero in that spot, especially a quarterback spot. But it's tough. Like there's always been having an injury going into Monday night where you got like a questionable or a game time decision. Like you're used to that, but when a whole roster is just up in arms, yeah, two. You've got 106 players, albeit you only care about the skill players, right? But you've got, in real life, you've got 106 players just that don't even know what to do. And look at what happened with Melvin Gordon this weekend where he's like, we practiced all week, right, and that's my bye. He's like, so now I don't even get a real bye.
Yep.
And then he kept tweeting all day, and he's like, I think he swore, on God, I swear. And he's like, I can't do this. And I don't blame him. I mean, they're in a lose-lose situation with stuff like this, but I don't know. It's tough. And like they've talked about extending the season and having a week 18 and skipping that week between the championship and the Super Bowls. And I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, it's going to get real interesting. These last 2 weeks have really been, I would probably say, the most stressful for everybody, both players affected, us obviously as players come last in that real-life situation, but it's not fun.
Exactly. And that kind of sucks a little bit, but we're going to keep pushing through. We're going to keep fighting, and let's get off of that depressing news and let's go to the actual depressing news, Brian.
Here's the news.
Do you want to start with the bad stuff, the medium stuff, or the good stuff?
Let's just get the bad out of the way. Rip the Band-Aid off.
I agree.
Oh man. Dak's foot went sideways.
That was gross. It was so gross.
I didn't get to watch a lot of football this weekend because we had people over on Sunday, which, of course, my wife needs to run these plans when I'm by me, when I'm actually paying attention. Not like I could say no or anything anyway, but still. But I was scrolling through Twitter and unfortunately saw the picture of his leg just, you know, one direction and his foot 90 degrees, which it's not supposed to do. So he has a compound fracture, and why bother talking about a dislocation at that point? But yeah, his leg is messed up. He went into surgery already. Like, he went into surgery that night, I think, especially because he had, you know, bone through skin. You don't want to risk any infection or anything. You want to, you know, get that taken care of right away. But he's done for a very long time. And it sucks because he was on the franchise tag, which, you know, none of us, I have been saying for weeks and weeks and weeks that I am never going to try and guess what is going to happen on these NFL teams with salary caps and signings and taggings and all that stuff. But man, it just sucks. Like, he was betting on himself and he was winning that freaking bet. Mm-hmm. And yeah, people are going to start complaining like, oh, like $100 million wasn't enough. Dude, if you're getting an offer for something that's not your worth, you turn that down. Well, like, not only is this guy sacrificing his body to God knows, you know, what make him susceptible to God knows what injuries, and well, now we see what kind of injuries, but like, yes, the player should be able to fight for every single penny, and we should not be giving them a hard time about it just because the large amount of dollars that they have in the first place. And yes, they're arguing over $6 to $10 extra million. Yeah, they have that freaking right. They have a worth that the market has been set. It's not like I am going into my job where, let's face it, I don't make millions of dollars and be like, wait, you're offering me this? No. $3 million or I walk. Okay, yeah, goodbye. I mean, this, they have a market of their value, Dak, showing that he belongs at the top of that market. And then this tag shit, and then he,
I will say, and hear me out before I finish this.
I can't believe you're going to do this, and I hate you.
Monday Night Countdown. I'm watching Monday Night Countdown. And Booger McFarlane made a really good point.
No, 2020 I don't believe it. It's 2020, but that's a little too far, Mandrew. If there was a year where he'd make a good point, it would be this freaking year. But I just can't believe that.
Adam Schefter was talking about how with Dak going in on the tag and everything, and how, like you said, everything's up in arms. You have no idea what's going to happen. Obviously, you pray that there's not going to be an Alex Smith situation with an infection, which the doctors they were talking about too before Booger made his point was everything looked great. He was released this afternoon. They'll monitor him and his temperature over the next couple of days, so on and so forth. But McFarland made the point that he's in the advantage in the driver's seat now when it comes to negotiating a contract, at least from the Cowboys standpoint, because either he's like, Andy Dalton's going to be a good quarterback, but he's not going to be able to put up what obviously Dak's done. I mean, Dak was on pace coming into this week for like 6,500 passing yards this year. Like, it was insane. But if Dak gets tagged again and they want to keep him, he's going to make like, I think it was like $60 million plus, because the tag, the way they renegotiated it in the CBA. Either way, it's going to be way more than he would have got on 1 year on that whatever deal. But also, too, now, the Cowboys could see him. It's going to be like a Drew Brees situation, like he said. He's like, he's probably going to have to go, if he doesn't go to Dallas, he's going to go somewhere where it's going to kind of seem like a risk, air quotes. But you saw how it worked for Brees, and that was his shoulder. And like Booger said, he's like, they've got the metal in place in the ankle. They've told him it's not going to break again, and he should be fine on it. He goes, it's something that's going to be weird. He's going to have to get hit, just like we saw, ironically, this weekend with Alex Smith coming back after his thing in the same week that we now see Dak. So I think financially, Dak will be fine. I think football-wise, Dak will be fine. And then obviously third and least important at this point, the fantasy-wise, I think he'll be fine too. It's just a matter of whether or not he does it in Dallas with the three-headed wide receiver dragon they have, or if he does it somewhere else. But either way, I have complete and full confidence with Dak. He's had one hell of a year. And again, more with the ironic stuff, he walked into that stadium yesterday wearing Smash the Stigma and on World Mental Health Day, and he's going to be the face of that going forward. And I think it's going to be great. It's just going to add to his story and everything he's gone through. He's used to it all.
All right. Well, sorry. Do you have something to say before we move?
Yes. I would like to speak this evening.
All right. And that was Brian, everybody.
I echo what Andrew said there just about, I mean, number one, Dak and what he's been through and how you really, really hate to see it for a guy like that. I mean, you hate to see it for anyone to be injured like that, playing a game and doing their profession. But, what Dak has gone through is remarkable. And the fact that he's talked about it and is using his platform to help other people is really, really, really admirable. So, I absolutely am rooting for him. Andrew, I didn't think I was going to agree with, I didn't really know what was coming, but when you said it was Booger that made the point, I was kind of like skeptical.
Crazy, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Dak hurting his leg is he broke his leg. And
right.
You see, what happens when you break your leg is your leg is no longer in one piece.
Studio analyst Booger is way better than Boogermobile Booger. I just got to use the word booger five times.
You didn't. Sense. It was great. All right. Sorry.
It all made sense.
That was in my head and I had to let it out.
Yeah, that's all right. No, but I mean, the point being that Dak, you know, as far as being in the driver's seat, I mean, if I'm Dak Prescott, and I'm sure Dak will be nicer about it because he's a nice guy, but if I'm Dak Prescott, I walk into Jerry's office and I say, pay me, mother trucker. If you don't, I'm gone. Like, it's as simple as that. Because I don't think that they can, number one, I mean, can you imagine taking up $60 million of your team cap?
Well, and that's what Schefter was talking about too, was because there's no, the loss of revenue this year, the cap's going to drop next year.
Right.
Which doesn't happen.
Nope.
So it's going to be real interesting to where they're not, the Cowboys want to have Dak take up that much of their cap, which, I mean, you create those situations, and unless you've got the guys working in Kansas City and LA working for the Cowboys that make the cap a myth, then it's going to be interesting.
Well, yeah, and especially like with Cooper next year being that much money,
Cooper's not going to be on. Cooper's not going to be in Dallas. That's why they drafted CeeDee Lamb. I wholeheartedly believe that when they signed him to that 5-year contract, I do not think Amari Cooper plays in Dallas beyond this season. That's my personal opinion. We'll see what happens. But
I think I remember like 2 years, the first 2 years, it'd be tough to move him because of the size of the contract. And after that, it gets easier.
Yeah. After 2021, it drops from, so if they say they cut him next year, which I don't think they would, but they would lose $6 million in like dead cap space on top of the salary. But if if they get rid of him in 2022, they save $16 million.
Here's the other thing that's just hilarious to me, and with all due respect to Cowboys fans out there, they're a very feisty defensive bunch as a whole. Not you, Josh. I love you. but look, they messed up here. I mean, Dak Prescott's a franchise quarterback. You have a chance to sign him long term. You had a chance to sign him to a decade. I mean, the deal was right in front of you. It happened with Patrick Mahomes. You don't even have to pay him Patrick Mahomes money. You can pay him $10 million less a year and still get this guy as your franchise quarterback for the next decade. It's done. It's done. You don't have to worry about inflation. You don't have to worry about any of that shit. He's signed, sealed, delivered. You are my quarterback for the next decade. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to. Guess who's starting this week for you? Andy freaking Dalton. And I love Andy Dalton. And the Red Rifle is viable again in Superflex leagues, which is awesome because I have a ton of shares for some God knows reason.
Man, your backup shares are going great. All those Cam Newton. They are. And now Andy Dalton.
It's wild for me. Yeah, I don't know. But I just, I would love it, me as a Steelers fan who doesn't like the Cowboys, never have, never will. I would love to see Dak flip off Jerry Jones in his office and say, I'm out. Like
someone important should do it, and maybe that will put him in his place. It won't put him in his place. He has way too big of an ego. But let's actually bring this to the fantasy side of everything. Let's start with Dak himself.
Buy him.
Oh, buy. I thought you were just saying.
What he said either. I was like,
buy.
Okay, no.
Bye,
so let's.
Bye, like, bye, I know you're here, Brian. I know you're here.
All right. So there is October ADP for one QB, not for Superflex. So I have the QB rankings in one QB. Dak Prescott is QB3, so let's go. Let's pretend you have Dak Prescott on your competing team. You want to sell him to get a quarterback coming back to you. Who would you sell him one for one? Some of them are going to be a little too obvious, but you know, Russell Wilson.
Russ? Yes. We're going to play my game.
Yes, we're playing your game. Yeah.
Russ.
Okay, so clearly you're going to take Russ. Would you send Dak Prescott straight up for Deshaun Watson?
Yes.
You're supposed to be answering to Andrew. Come on, you're part of the show.
I would, yeah.
Okay. Kyler Murray.
Yes.
No.
Ooh.
Just because of the Cliff Kingsbury offense. Like and we don't know where Dak's gonna be. If he's in Dallas, no, I wouldn't. But because I don't know, I know Kyler Murray's gonna be in Arizona with Cliff Kingsbury for a while.
So you want Kyler Murray?
Yeah, I would rather have Kyler Murray. Sorry, I don't know.
Yeah, so you answered meaning yes. Okay.
Yes.
Let's keep going. Would you send Dak Prescott straight up for Josh Allen?
I'm thinking about it.
I wouldn't, but I'm also waving my hand a little bit, like maybe.
I would do it just because I not even taking into account what he's doing now, because you want to believe even professional football players can get better. Like, that's a physical possibility. This was a hell of a jump from his, like, 53% completion percentage to 70. But, like, even if he falls back a little bit, that's really good because he hasn't even been running that much. So regardless of what he is as a real quarterback, with Diggs there, he's a very good fantasy quarterback. I think I would, especially with the points he's putting up now, I would comfortably one-for-one send Dak for Josh Allen.
Yeah, if I was contending, I think I might do it too. Like if I was contending and like if I was solid everywhere and the loss of Dak takes me from like a top two or three team to like borderline playoffs, then yeah, I think I'd do it too.
Okay, so here's where it's going to start getting a little dicey. Joe Burrow.
I would not for Joe Burrow, and I love Joe Burrow in Dynasty, but I don't think that he's going to put the points up that you're going to need this season to win a league. That's my opinion.
What about Justin Herbert?
No, I wouldn't.
I'll give you two Dacks for Justin Herbert. Not enough. Okay.
Wait, what?
I said I'll give you two Dacks for Justin Herbert.
One would get it done.
For you? I don't know.
I do love Justin Herbert.
It honestly, it's just to make me feel better about missing out on those freaking 3 weeks where he should have been mine. Carson Wentz.
I'm so done with Carson Wentz.
He's been still putting up like 20 points a week. I get that he's not looking good. That team looks terrible, but he's still not doing that bad fantasy wise. Though I completely get. You know, a few more. Matt Ryan.
No.
No.
Cam Newton.
No.
Nope.
Aaron Rodgers.
Throw in a pick and I'll do it.
I would not straight up. No.
Last one. Jared Goff.
No.
All right. So it seems like we have Dak around the QB8-ish. Because that is where
Now let's clarify that. If I'm a contending team and the loss of Dak takes me from championship caliber to borderline playoff team at least, then he's QB8. Yeah.
In a world where we have to take points into consideration for dynasty value, which I am seriously working on, I realize that I don't do this nearly enough. Like dynasty value is ingrained in my brain that I don't take fantasy value into enough of account. So I'm legitimately working on this. So like to me, part of the reason for this exercise was kind of putting those two together a little bit where, yes, we had to frame this from a vantage point if you're competing, because if you're not, why sell a guy?
Right.
You know, you're just not going to use till next year anyway. So dropping Dak Prescott out for the rest of the year to QB8, I mean, that's not super different from like what we did with Saquon, who fell from, you know, RB1 to we had him down to like 5 or 6. I mean, that's sort of similar. So I guess, again, this was an exercise for me more than for anyone listening, but hopefully people listening got something out of it. Like just where to value, because unfortunately it's happening way too often this season where players are getting hurt. So
we need to play this every week. We need to find a way to play this game every week. This game makes me happy. I get very excited. Right, so
we're
going to
do this. I'm going to pull up our TA8.
And we got to come up with a cool
name. We're
going
to go with Saquon,
name.
And I'm just going to go down your roster and see what I could flip him for.
Oh, Jesus. okay.
All right. So let's flip the script a little bit to Andy Dalton.
Yep.
Clearly, you're going to have to prefer the quarterback of the Cowboys. Are you willing to pay a first and a second for Andy Dalton right now? Knowing that I mean, Dak's not coming back this year, right? Like, there's nothing that's going to happen that Dak is coming back this year. Like, I don't know this. I'm asking. Like, he shouldn't.
Yeah, Dak's
right?
out. No, he's out. He's out for the season.
Yeah, they said today 6 to 8 months.
Right.
Okay. Just, I didn't see that. Just checking.
Yeah.
So,
no, you're good.
First and a second for the starting quarterback for the Cowboys with those wide receivers for the rest of the year. You're not getting a mid first probably won't even get that done, I don't think. Like, so would you send a first and a second for Andy Dalton right now?
If I needed quarterback help, yeah, probably.
Like, let's say you lost Dak on your competing team, and instead of going the big guy, you want to hold on to Dak and then still get a quarterback. You'll throw your competing first and hopefully an earlier, let's say you magically have an earlier second on your team.
I'd probably do that.
Yeah, I mean, from a football perspective, I'm not the biggest Andy Dalton fan, but I mean, like you talked about with those receivers, I mean, yesterday he was 9 for 11, 111 yards, including that deep ball to Gallup on the sideline. So
I watched that replay like 6 times in a row.
I still don't know how he could stayed in somehow. Like it was pure luck, but it doesn't matter. But no, I mean, Yeah, I mean, obviously, we're saying this as you're competing, so, and you're if you're trading away a first and a second anyway, it's not like they're going to be high picks anyway. So, and this quarterback class isn't great. At the, I mean, it's a very top heavy.
I went back a little bit, like, what? Okay.
I'm saying if you're picking at the end of the first and at the end of the second, you're kind of just throwing darts there. So,
I'm going to interrupt you to ask you a question about the quarterbacks. Do you think Trey Lance will be like 103-4 ish in a super flex league?
Yes.
Clearly depend on landing spot, but.
Yeah, no. Otherwise. I'm not the biggest Trey Lance guy, but the consensus is. So,
Andrew, we're gonna have to talk about this later.
I did a very nice scouting report. You can find it on the Fantasy Authority.
Yes,
on the Central Arkansas game.
Don't go now. We're recording a show.
It's okay, dude. I can multitask.
No, you cannot.
No, I can't.
It's gonna be bad, guys. Obviously. Everything this year, 2020, is not going to make Trey Lance look great. I personally wouldn't have played if I were him, but no, it's just he hasn't passed a lot. Like that offense is very run with your quarterback and read options. And like in the national championship game last year, he threw 15 passes. And don't get me wrong, the arm talent's there. It's just he really needs to go to – he's going to be a gigantic situation type. Like if he goes to, say, Chicago and he's forced to go in there right away and say they don't keep Allen Robinson, it's just going to be hell in a handbasket for him. But if he can go somewhere – like I just did a mock the other day where he goes to Minnesota where he can sit with Kirk Cousins until they get him caught up and everything. Again, it's – Trey Lance, I'm not saying he's going to be bad, but like you, to back to what you said, like the 103, 104, I think he's probably going to go ahead of Justin Fields in some situations. So, I mean, I'd probably say the 102, 103, just because his legs are going to make him that much more valuable. Like we see now with guys like Lamar, Dak, stuff like that.
That was a little spicy at the end.
Right 102. That, yeah. I'm surprised. Andrew, this is good. First of all, let me say, so we know you well enough and have seen your success and your track record enough to know that like when Andrew says something like this, like pay attention to it, right? So, but I am surprised. So I'm going to have to I've been reading through as you've been speaking. Sorry, I haven't been listening all that much, except for I heard you say 102, but I've been reading through your scouting report on Lance. So I'm seeing the worrisome trends, but,
included a passing chart in there, which I see that. Not done that for any other quarterback I've watched so far. So,
yep.
When he throws deep, it misses a little bit, but obviously that can be fixed because of mechanics and so on and schemes and plays. And obviously playing with receivers at North Dakota State, Phoenix Sproles is great, who's there too, who has called me out on Twitter before because he's Trey Lance's roommate. And Phoenix Sproles is great, like I said, but obviously
– in case he's listening. Okay,
got it. Exactly, for whatever reason. So – he's a regular. Exactly. But no, it's going to be kind of like last year with, ironically enough, Tua and Herbert. If people wanted to wait on Tua, you took Tua. Like you're going to have to probably wait on Lance. If you need the immediate return, people maybe thought Herbert. So it's going to be interesting. Fields doesn't run as much, and that's part of the Ohio State offense. He has the ability completely, and so does Lawrence. But Lance obviously has the numbers to put it up where – he's obviously probably going to get the dip for some people who just look quickly and go, okay, 102, guy runs.
Man, I could talk about this for like another 20, 30 minutes, but we that's not the point of this show.
Right.
Yeah. So let's talk about another team that is in the Justin Fields. Actually, they're actually in the Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields area also. The Falcons fired their head coach, Dan Quinn, and I'm a little surprised they fired their GM,
Dimitroff
as well. He always seemed to do pretty well. That team has had horrible injury luck on defense, and now it's going over to their offense. But like personnel never seemed to be the biggest problem with them. No. It was really strange for them to fire him, but I guess they're just ready for the culture change. They're ready for clean sweep. man, like, I don't know what to think about this because, like, I went into this season all aboard the Falcons passing game train. And with Julio getting hurt, it derailed the entire train. Like, Matt Ryan hasn't looked good the past few weeks. He hasn't been putting up fantasy points at all, which has been killing me. And, like, if they're winless right now, right? Like, are they going to go get, like, Lawrence and get rid of Matt Ryan? Like, my brain can't, like, I'm stuttering because in my head, I've been trading two, like, when I trade away and I'm talking, negotiating with someone, when I'm trading for Matt Ryan, in my head, like, the dude's got, like, four more years on the Falcons who love to pass the ball. Like, even if Dan Quinn left, it was never in my mind that a collapse of that entire offense would happen.
Yeah, no, and that's, again, while we're plugging work here, we can distract Brian a little bit more with this.
Yes!
Last week, I did an article on the fantasy implications for NFL head coaching changes. Bill O'Brien was mentioned in that, former Penn State head coach, by the way. He was the first domino to fall. I also talked about Dan Quinn in there. For the Falcons, I thought, and Josh McDaniels hasn't left New England for any reason whatsoever. But you have to look at who's stable, and Arthur Blank's a very good owner. Obviously he knows how to build things because he owns Home Depot as well. So Josh McDaniels going to Atlanta, I think, could rejuvenate Matt Ryan. But something, I'm really plugging ESPN here, like they need any more of it. But on the countdown before the game tonight, Schefter was talking about that with Matt Ryan, how if they have the first pick, Arthur Blank wouldn't commit to Matt Ryan. Like, he didn't answer the question. He did what everybody's been doing lately on these wonderful debates where they don't answer questions, and he did the whole runaround thing. So, Matt Ryan, though, like he talked about, San Francisco has quarterback issues, and San Francisco has some cap space flexibility. They've got the draft picks. They have his offensive coordinator from his MVP year, who's the head coach there, and Kyle Shanahan. And I think Matt Ryan in San Francisco would just – my Debo wide receiver one claims would just go through the roof at that point.
Dude, I have a friend who's a huge 49ers fan that doesn't listen to the show, and he's not even in – so no less he's not in our chat. You know, he just orgasmed somewhere and doesn't know why, and it was because you just talked about – that was exactly. Really gross. I'm sorry I said that out loud. That, yeah, you just said that Matt Ryan was going to the San Francisco 49ers.
And the only problem is, and we talked about Dimitroff getting canned, obviously, was surprising. He can evaluate talent, like the best of them. His story and everything from being a slappy with Belichick when he was in Cleveland and started out being a grounds crew guy and worked his way up to, like, getting scout tape and eventually scouting in Japan for their league before getting a chance here. It's a great story. And I love it for that because it's one of those things where all of us little guys on Twitter can dream that we can somehow go to Japan. But the problem with, and Kevin Williams from Coast to Coast Scouting pointed this out to me, and I had to go look, Dimitroff's kind of like the John Dorsey type where he can evaluate talent, but the contract structure is where it just goes down the hole, so to speak. And, like, if you look at Matt Ryan's contract, if he gets cut this year, say, like, not that he's going to, it's not going to happen, but the Falcons would have $60 million in dead cap because of the way the contract's written. And next year, if they do it, they would have $9 million. And, like, it doesn't go into the positives until 2022. So it's one of those things where all those contracts are kind of going to be interesting to see how they go. And that's really where I think the problem is with the Falcons. And obviously he hires the head coach and the coaching staff. So poo rolls downhill, as we all know.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about the implications on Matt Ryan a little later. So we're not really going to talk about that now. So are we good to move on? Have you talked, Brian? I wasn't paying attention. I was just listening to Andrew.
I'm just reading this article here.
All right, so we're just going to move on because you're not paying attention. So
appreciate it, Brian.
No problem.
All about those clicks. Dalvin Cook avoided major injury where, thankfully, he stopped destroying the Seahawks defense for a little bit, even though Madison still looked really damn good, but that's besides the point. He pretty much, like, from that snap, he was, like, holding onto his groin as he was running, and it did not look good. He went right into the locker room, came back out. I don't remember if he made it back onto the field or not. Like, I think he did for like one snap and then like walked right off and never went back in for the game. All I have seen is that he avoided major injury, but since they are playing the aforementioned winless Falcons, they're probably just going to sit him for a week. Are we buying into this injury prone Dalvin Cook thing? Are we still go by Dalvin Cook because he's going to score a ton of points? Do we think Vikings are going to slow his usage down, especially, man, like you're not going to really get to gauge if Madison is doing well going against the Seahawks and then the Falcons defense. The Falcons defense, run defense isn't atrocious, I guess. Does this sway you in any direction on Dalvin Cook's value, Brian?
So last week, Dalvin Cook was my make amends. This week, I get to go back to Dalvin Cook, Haterville. Not Haterville. I don't hate anyone, and I don't hate Dalvin Cook. He's a hell of a player, and he's proven it this year. Look, the problem with Dalvin Cook has never been his production on the field.
Yeah.
It's been his availability. And as my good friend and I discussed several times, the late, great James the Brain, availability is an ability. And Dalvin's not available. Again, here we are, another season, another week. Hopefully, this is only a one-week thing. Will it be? Will it be more? Will it only be one? Who knows? But it seems like Dalvin deals with this stuff every single year. I don't know that that's his fault. It might just be an unlucky streak with little tweaks with muscles and stuff. These guys work their asses off to be in tip-top shape. So I'm not accusing Dalvin Cook of not being in shape or anything like that. I mean, he works hard by all accounts, and as all of these guys do. But he certainly has an unlucky streak when it comes to getting hurt, whether it's hamstrings or ACLs or groins or shoulders or whatever. I mean, it just seems like every season at some point in the year, Dalvin Cook puts up points, man. If he's in there and he's healthy, he's going to put up points. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. The question is never the points. It's, is he going to play? So I don't know. I mean, it's, we'll see what happens. Hopefully it looks like it's going to be just a week. So hopefully that's the case, because I want to see him keep balling, because it's fun to watch when he's, you know, when he's on the field there, he's fun to watch in that offense.
Seahawks games out of the way, Dalvin Cook can come back and keep running. That's fine. How about you, Andrew? You got any thoughts on Dalvin Cook before we jump into the main event?
I like Dalvin Cook coming out of Florida State. One thing that was the reason he dropped in the draft that year was injury concerns. Not that he didn't really miss any games. Like, he played 13 games, 12 games, 13 games in his college career. And the injuries weren't necessarily an issue, like, to stop him from playing. But he was one of those injury report guys where you're just used to seeing him. Something to keep in mind, too, for anybody that's a tread on the tire guy like myself. If you take into consideration all of his college touches with his pro touches, he's already racked up over 1,400 touches. And he's only 25 years old. And he's not built like a Derrick Henry. He's not built like a Zeke. He's kind of one of those that, I don't even know what he's officially listed at here. He's 5'10", 210. So, I mean, he's a little shorter than both those guys I just mentioned. So, I'm not out on Dalvin Cook, but you have to be very cautious week to week with him. And especially with Madison there. I mean, and obviously Cook just got the big extension, so I don't think he's going to go anywhere. But David Johnson got traded too when he was in the middle of a big contract himself.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to be able to sell Dalvin for a price that is worth it right now. Like I was saying before, the combination of dynasty and fantasy value. Like, I can't imagine you getting enough right now in return for the points he will be putting up. Unless you're like us in TA7, where you kind of have to take that hit a little bit where we don't want to score points. So that, you know, was the reason we sold him, what I think was probably a little cheap based on, again, the points he put up for the 3 weeks after. I mean, the dude left in like I think it was the end of the second, the beginning of the third, and still put up 20 freaking points. So, yeah. Madison is, like, you're not going to be able to afford Madison at this point for a price that's worthwhile, right? Like, you're not sending a first for Madison, anyone, are you?
No.
Yeah, right?
No.
Okay, so we're just going to move on. Let's get to the main event, Brian.
The main event!
We start with our make amends, and since I start talking, I'm just going to keep going on talking. My make amends is on Zach Ertz. I had so many shares on all my competing teams because we came into the season saying every year we find a reason that Zach Ertz isn't going to do it, and every year Zach Ertz makes us look silly. Well, sticking by Zach Ertz aside has made us look silly at this, made me look silly at this point, because again, every wide receiver got hurt. Even Dallas Goedert got hurt, and Zach Ertz goes for one catch for 6 yards. He got six targets, which, to be fair, isn't bad. But in that situation last year, he was getting 12 or 13. I haven't watched a Philly game like straight through or anything, so I don't necessarily know if he's slowing down, if he's not getting the separation or whatever it is. We know that offensive line is terrible, but still, do you need time for tight end routes really to mature all that much? I don't really think so. Man, Zach Ertz is just not living up to what we needed him to be, and Andrew's like waving at me, so I'm going to let him talk about it.
Oh, no. I was just didn't know if Brian was going to jump in or not.
We interrupt game, Brian on the show. It's fine.
The only Eagles game, I'll just give him another article to read while I talk. The only game I've watched of the Eagles this year was this past Sunday when they played Pittsburgh. And from that game, I don't think Ertz has slowed down. I don't think Ertz has gotten bad out of nowhere. I really think, and obviously the Pittsburgh defense is, I think, the best in the league this year. And it kills me to say that as a Browns fan. But, and it was just really that Wentz is always under pressure, and he's either having to roll out or he's trying to step up. And that's why Fulham, I think, is doing so well, or Fulgham, or however you say his name. Why he's doing so well is because he's always going deep. It's like they're just saying go and try to get open, because Wentz is going to have to throw it up there to do something, because that's where all these stats and these like touchdowns and everything are coming from, is just these ridiculous plays. Like that game yesterday shouldn't have been close to where the stats got padded. Obviously, you're not going to complain about that.
Yep.
But people got very lucky in that sense. So it's really one of those things where I don't think it's Ertz's fault. I really think if this offensive line gets fixed, this whole offense gets fixed. Like you saw yesterday with Miles Sanders. I think that was the best run I've ever seen from him on a 76-yard touchdown. He looked like he was in Nittany Lion Blue in Heinz Field against Pitt.
Woo!
There. So I've got all the references for all the kids, you know? So obviously, it's one of those things where it's crazy to think that an offensive line is making that much of a difference. But he's really handicapped by that offense, and so is Carson Wentz.
So okay. I agree 100% with that, Andrew. And you know, your last statement there about the offensive lines, I mean, I think you can look at Cleveland. So Cleveland's offensive line 100%. Last year was awful, and Baker Mayfield sucked. He just was awful.
Week one, he was bad too.
But I think it had a lot more to do with the offensive line than it did with Baker. And I think it's the same thing that's going on in Philly right now. That line is just in shambles. It's a mess, and it's affecting the quarterback play and the whole offense. So Russ, we did trade Ertz away in TA7, right?
Yeah. If you want. Yeah.
Let's do that now. So trade addicts, trade.
Trade Addicts Leagues, 12 teams, super flex, PPR, tight end premium, 1.75 points for, man, I was doing so good for a few weeks. 1.75 set. Points for tight end receptions and 0.05 points for return yardage. We sent Zach Ertz for Dallas Goedert and a third.
Yeah. And I mean, this team is a mess too. I mean, we're definitely in rebuild. We're shooting for the first overall pick. We're setting lineups. So it's not, you know, we're not tanking per se, but our roster starting
running back is sucks. JD McKissick.
Yes. Yeah. So it just felt like it made a lot of sense for what we're doing.
Yeah, and we got younger, and again, I feel like if Ertz has a season where he doesn't do what Ertz normally does, do they bother restructuring yet again? I like that this like this is the stuff that was going through my brain where I'm like, let me just see what I can get for Ertz. And like, I'm glad we got a, what seems like it's a fine deal either way. Yep. But like, I'm glad we got something dumb just because knowing our luck, halfway through the season, he's going to start balling again. And that's just going to screw us over because we don't want to score points.
All right. And Goddard's actually performed pretty well. Like, yeah. Week one obviously was his best week, but he gets open. He's a really good receiving target, obviously. Who knows? I don't know what Ertz's contract situation is, and he's one of the focal points of that Eagles team. But another thing you talked about too, where you talked about Cleveland with that offensive line, Kevin Stefanski changing that offense also to the zone running scheme and everything. Like, why not have Doug Peterson change this up? Because it's obviously not working. Change it up to where you do something similar. Like, you've got Miles Sanders, and you don't have to have the talent per se. Like, Wyatt Teller, who is playing over Jack Conklin, who came in on a big contract. It looks like an all-pro if the season ended today. And you've got Kareem Hunt, and you've got XFL running back to Ernest Johnson, who was working on a crab boat before he got to Cleveland, now putting up numbers. So do that with Boston Scott, Miles Sanders, and you get the tight end work in there too with Hooper and Njoku. You could do that in Philly with Goddard and Ertz. So, but I'm just stuck here in the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania. So,
yeah, what? Stubborn coaching.
I know, right?
All right. Since Brian's make amends sort of leads into his trade away, why don't we let Andrew talk about his make amends?
Yeah, my make amends, I was pounding the table all off season, and even up until this week, and this week was probably his best week. Kenyon Drake, just the Cliff Kingsbury offense does not really support a running back one, so to speak. So, I mean, like, Chase Edmonds had that 29-yard scamper yesterday, and Drake had a touchdown too, but really it's Kyler Murray who's probably going to be the leading rusher on this team at the end of the year at this point. So, Kenyon Drake's just not getting the receiving work like he was last year a little bit. He's not getting the rushing attempts. Obviously, the offensive line's a little bit different, but Kenyon Drake just – and there's a lot of people getting burned by that. So, going forward, I will not be pounding the table for Kenyon Drake. I will just be sitting silently in the corner and with my mouth taped and not being allowed to say anything about him.
We don't condone tying up and taping yourself in corners. At least, like, do it in the kitchen where there's a fridge or something.
Right.
But, yeah, I got to be honest. I was never on the Kenyon Drake bandwagon. So, yeah, you really should be saying you're sorry.
Well, okay. Well, talk about whoever now. Go ahead.
We just put the dunce cap on Andrew's head, and we're going to move on. Brian, so you go.
Yeah, so my make amends is Chase Claypool, Mapletron. And so for some backstory here – so anybody who joined the Superflex Super Show for our draft party this year, I flipped shit when the Steelers drafted Chase Claypool because I thought they were drafting another tight end. Like, they've been looking for an athletic tight end like Eric Ebron. since Heath Miller
left.
That's
a very generous way to describe Eric Ebron.
Hey. It's okay, but seriously, and J.K. Dobbins was on the board, and I was pissed. I was hella pissed.
Yes, I remember that now.
I was hella pissed that the Steelers drafted this dude that, I mean, I knew who Claypool was, but, like, he wasn't even on the radar. This, to me, was another Terrell Edmonds first-round bust pick. Actually, Terrell Edmonds has been decent this year, so, but regardless, I was livid. Like, I haven't been that pissed since the Steelers took Le'Veon Bell over Eddie Lacy, which maybe tells you something about me.
For like the first year and a half, it looked better for Eddie Lacy.
It did. But I was pissed. I was super pissed. And Claypool, I'm not going to go and say that he's like the next great, you know, Steelers wide receiver or anything, but he's looking pretty damn good. And I think he makes me feel a lot better about the idea of Juju Smith-Schuster moving on. I mean, I don't like that. I love Juju. I wish he could be a Steeler.
This is another one of these things that we're saying is like a foregone conclusion. And I'm just waiting for them to like sign him real fast.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
I don't know. Like it,
I'm sad. It makes me sad because I love Juju.
Yeah, he seems like a cool
from
guy.
A team makeup standpoint, I think, you know, with the cap going down and all of that stuff, I think having Claypool and Deontay Johnson for another 2 years before they have to sign either one of those guys, Johnson would be eligible first. But I mean, it makes me feel a little bit better about that situation moving forward. So, but yeah, I mean, Claypool, he looked damn good this weekend and he's looked good. The stats haven't been there in the other games.
I feel like he has a game where he's just right. Like, okay, yeah, that's what they see.
Right. And you're right. Exactly. When you see him make the play, then it's like, damn, like, yeah, that's why they drafted him there. Yeah. So that, and you know, Claypool
is my
makeup. So tell
us why he's your trade away.
So he's also my trade away because I believe he just had his career game. I mean, maybe not yardage wise, but I mean, there's not a lot of wide receivers that score 4 touchdowns in a game in their career. So the fact that Claypool just did that, I think if you can take advantage of the wave of this weekend and the steam that was building even prior to this weekend, this is just, you know, this was just an explosion. So I think if you can take advantage of that, I think I would try to move him.
What is the least you would take to move him right now?
I mean, I would want a first round pick for him. I don't know. That's ambitious. I think that's ambitious with the talent that's coming out in this class. But I also, after the game that he just had, I think I would want that in return. Or I would wait to see how things played out with him.
Looking at it from, and think about it, most people probably got Claypool. Like, I went through a startup, and I think Claypool went, I can't remember how late he was. But, like, Claypool was probably, I don't know what his ADP ended up being for rookie drafts, if that's findable anywhere. But I'd imagine in most cases he went in the third or fourth round. So, I mean, if you can get a 2 for him, if you look at it just from a pick logistics standpoint, you're going to get a return on that. But I also think it's worth sitting on him at the same time just because, and I heard this comp, and I can't remember where I heard it from today, and it wasn't even on Twitter. I was listening to something. And they said that they reminded him a lot of Hines Ward. And if you think about it, where Claypool's not a burner, he's a physical guy. Ward was a physical guy. Ward was a very nice route runner. I think Claypool's a very good route runner as well. And that's somebody that with Ben can thrive. Obviously, you don't know how much Ben you're going to have left, but you see it where Kevin Colbert, their general manager, hits on these receivers. Like Deontay Johnson 2 years ago, Claypool, or last year, Claypool this year, and then going back, I can't remember who put out the Albert Breer from Sports Illustrated put, you've got Mike Wallace, you've got Martavis Bryant for a couple of years, you've got Juju, who was late. And Claypool is the highest draft capital of all those guys. So I think Colbert's in with him for the long haul. And like you talked about with Juju, it's going to be interesting to see. We'll talk about him later, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens there.
Because I see Mapletron, and I couldn't think of his real name. Brian wrote
which
it in his Mapletron.
Which is a great nickname.
Yeah, on the show sheet. I have him in one league where he was part of I sent a bunch of seconds and I got like James Robinson and Claypool and Josh Kelly, like all of these, like not necessarily wait, like all these like rookie picks pretty much that I sent this year rookie picks for. And one dude's been coming at me pretty hard for Claypool and I just like, I don't know what to do about it. Like he sent me, the offer was Terry McLaurin for Chase Claypool and my 22 first. And I rejected it because it's just like, first of all, I'm just terrified of anything in Washington right now.
Yeah.
Which, how did we not talk about that? You brought it up, but like Alex Smith played football again. Like he could not take another snap and he should get comeback player of the year.
Oh, 100%.
I need to say those words out loud because holy crap, that man played professional football again.
Did you like, watch the feature on E60?
No, I didn't feel like crying.
They showed his leg unfiltered.
Oh, I'm very glad I didn't watch then.
To where it was. And his whole shin was exposed at one point because they had to remove all of that from infection. Yeah. And like they were at the Walter Reed Medical Hospital where they treat our nation's veterans and everything. And there was guys who handled IED blast victims. And they said this is worse than some of the stuff they've seen on that. So anyone who needs to vote should be forced to watch that feature and then just watch the 15 snaps or handful of snaps he played and be like, now who are you voting for?
Yeah, right. Like, no, they should just take the no vote. Just give it to Alex.
Exactly.
Yeah. So just like I hit that reject button and it like broke my brain that I rejected that. Like I don't know what to do about this because my team is – I'm probably going to lose this week, so I'm going to be 4-1 on a team that's really not necessarily that great. But I have a decent amount of pieces where I think I'm going to make the playoffs, and especially in a year like this, if you make the playoffs, you have a chance because who knows who's going to be playing by then. So and like to be able to have Claypool on the bottom of that roster to like – okay, maybe he gives me 6-8 points, but maybe he gives me 40 because he scores 4 touchdowns. Like you said, he's probably not going to score 4 touchdowns again, but we've seen him catch a touchdown, one catch for 60 yards and a touchdown. I don't know. Like I didn't know what to do with it. I panicked. I hit reject and like, let me look, because this dude, Trinetics won. There were two teams that productive struggled the first year and their rosters are just effing baller right now and they still have picks and it makes me angry. So like this guy's offering you the McLaurin because he has like CD Lamb, DK Metcalf, like at all of these awesome guys. And I'm like, no, I want those guys. Like I hate people that do that, but I want to do that right now. So yeah, like I panicked. I just rejected it and I know he's going to have 3 targets with 0 catches next week and it's going to kill his value, but I didn't move him, which felt weird.
I was in a super flex league, and it's not even really super flex. I have to start 2 quarterbacks in this league. It's kind of messed up. And my 2 quarterbacks, because I didn't plan for it appropriately, were Rodgers and Dwayne Haskins. And I didn't have anybody I could sign, so I had to make a crazy trade. And I looked for who had Kyle Allen, because I figured they would want to sell because they'll take advantage. And I sent them, I can't remember who the initial trade offer was, but they're like, I want Scary Terry for Allen. I was like, okay, we don't have to talk anymore.
And he's yeah, like, bye.
He's like, well, what can I get it done? I was like, I'm going to need, and I'm not doing great.
I'll take McLaurin's value to get it done.
Well, I don't think, and we saw it this week, 3 catches, 26 yards. I can't have to look. I got 2 firsts and a second. And back for Kyle Allen, and it's just going to be a spot thing. I know I'm not going to win this league, so it's one of those things where I was selling McLaurin because I don't know what's going to happen there, Washington. Yeah.
All right, but we're recording for an hour already. I feel like we just started talking 20 minutes ago, so we're going to keep on going. So Andrew, go into your trade away guy.
Who was it?
Joe Mixon.
Oh yeah, Joe Mixon. So yeah, no, I obviously you just like you have Claypool coming off of a fantastic week. You had Joe Mixon last week doing the same thing. This Bengals offense, again, like we talked about with the Eagles, this offensive line is killing Joe Burrow. Ben Albright talked about it where they're gonna or tweeted out how they're gonna David Carr him. And for anyone who doesn't remember what that means, it means David Carr got sacked 76 times his rookie year. And entering yesterday, I don't know what happened with Burrow, but coming into yesterday, Burrow was on pace to be sacked 60 times. This offense can't really get going. Like, you're going to get your big weeks out of Mixon, but I think the next time you do is when I would sell, and just because you've got a loaded running back class coming in, just like we had this past year. But I think this year, even more so with guys like Harris, Etienne, Chuba Hubbard, Journey Brown, who I'm
I was about to say, why were on. If this were me talking, he'd have been yelling at me that I didn't say Journey Brown right away.
Well, Journey Brown was my RB1 entering the college season. So I think exactly. So,
and in case you didn't pick up on context clues, anyone listening, Journey Brown is the running back for Penn State.
Yes. Just, yeah. So, but you've got like 7 or 8 guys that can really produce rounds through 1 or 2. And I don't know. Get it, Brian. I love Mixon. He's a one of the best running backs in this league, but this Bengals offense just is not it. And you can't sit and wait for it to kind of blossom into what you want it to be with Joe Burrow. He doesn't have Ja'Marr Chase yet. and he doesn't have Joe Brady there yet.
Yeah, T. Higgins. Don't you downplay that.
Yeah, and you got T. Higgins. AJ Green doesn't even want to go up for passes anymore.
Did you see how quickly he moved on from T. Higgins? Like, it was like an afterthought. It was like, yeah, they have T. Higgins. And AJ Green, like, you stopped the show to make sure that he talked about your boy. And it was, yeah, they have T. Higgins. And
you've got to
and
get...
we were done.
He's a bitter Cleveland fan. Talking about an in-division player.
Last time they were 4-1, I was a month old.
But, you know, they'd be 5-0 if they had T. Higgins. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, that's very strong.
I don't even know. I don't know if that's, but I had to say something. All right. But here's my question.
I'm just, I would move on from Mixon. The next big week you have, sell high while you can, is where I'm at with him.
Here's the only reason, like, clearly, he was my sell like 2 or 3 weeks ago at this point. But they've been the past two games. Like, I know 2 games ago he went nuts, but he got the usage this week, even though he didn't score 3 touchdowns. Like, that was a little the opposite of concerning, whatever the hell.
And obviously,
that is.
Like, going against Baltimore is a giant handicap for something like that. So,
yeah, for production wise, yeah, that's rough. But, like, I was encouraged. That's the word that I couldn't freaking think of. Like, I was encouraged with the fact that, like, he got the usage. Brian is sending terrible tweets in our in the private chat of the.
Yeah, I mean,
that was hysterical.
He had 30 touches last week. I mean, and if you look, like, if you go week by week, he had 20 touches week one, 20 touches week two, 19 week three, week four was the big blowout. You had 31, and then this week you had 30. So, I mean, like you said, it's there. It's just, I think it's just the Bengals offense right now is not. You've got a rookie quarterback. It's going to take some time.
Okay. Well, let's continue talking about AFC North running backs. And since, Andrew, you're talking, why don't you go into your trade for?
Yeah, no, I mean, I would trade for Nick Chubb at this point. I'm not even, this is going to be a little bit of homery at this point. I'm not talking Simpsons.
Oh, you're talking, but you're also talking to two Nick Chubb fans, so it's fine to do it anyway.
Oh, fantastic. So it's one of those things where Kevin Stefanski, like we talked about earlier, with everything I said about the Eagles and the zone running scheme just applied to the Browns now, where I'm talking about with Nick Chubb. Even with him not getting and splitting time with Kareem Hunt before he got injured, he was third in the league in rushing. And that's splitting time with Kareem Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And when he comes back, it's not like I talked about XFL, former crab boat fisherman, D'Ernest Johnson's not going to cut into his carries. And like you've seen, the game plan for Cleveland is have Baker throw the ball as least amount as possible, except this week they opened up against the Colts, which I have no idea why. But it's going to be interesting to see how they go forward without Chubb. But I think once Chubb gets back, I think it's just full steam ahead to where you were. And with that, I think Chubb is going to be part of the long haul with them there in Cleveland. I mean, Andrew Berry obviously values the running backs because he extended Hunt, mm-hmm. and that's from an analytics perspective. So both film Twitter and analytics Twitter can come together and be happy. So it's one of those things where I think you see that the running back's going to be crucial to Cleveland for the long haul with Stefanski and this front office, which seems to be stable. I can't believe I'm describing a Browns team this way. But I'm taking full advantage of it. And I would buy Chubb no matter where you're at. You're obviously, if you're contending, you're not going to. But if you're rebuilding and you want to trade away, I mean, I think Chubb's going to get you more production right away than anybody you're going to get in the first, probably, barring somebody at the top end of it. But if you're in the middle of the pack, I would definitely be going out and getting Chubb.
Yeah, but you're not going to get him for one first. Are you going to send
him? Just saying, don't be afraid to throw in early picks at that point. Like,
right,
you're gonna
but
have
like,
to...
are you still at a point where you'd send 2 firsts for Nick Chubb right now?
I would.
Yeah.
I think you have to, I think, still.
Yeah, I know. I mean, yeah, 100%. Like I talked
okay.
about.
That's not legitimately a question because I know I'm going to keep talking about TA8, how I've been trying to blow up my team. I was talking to the Chubb owner who, unfortunately, was not panicking. So I was just curious what, you know, a price would be that one of the firsts I have is going to be super early, so I need a quarterback since my only quarterback right now is Jimmy GQ, which again, because Brian screwed me over with Justin Herbert. I hit my microphone stand. So, okay, that is your trade for. Brian, go to your trade for.
Yeah, my trade for is J.K. Dobbins. So it's funny that, you know, this whole Claypool and Dobbins dynamic from draft night that I was so pissed about. But I think J.K. Dobbins, so we're 5 weeks into the season, and Dobbins had a couple of games where he scored touchdowns. But outside of that, his production has been basically non-existent. And Gus Edwards, Gus freaking Edwards, is producing in that backfield and getting touches. So if you drafted J.K. Dobbins expecting him to be used this year, I think that was misguided with Mark Ingram still there. Having said that, I certainly didn't see him losing touches to Gus freaking Edwards. So it's a little bit concerning, but I think it's an opportunity to go and see if you can acquire J.K. Dobbins for a discounted price. Because here's the thing about Dobbins. I watched J.K. Dobbins run all over my Nittany Lions and all over the rest of the Big Ten for three straight seasons. This dude is uber talented, in my opinion. For me, Dobbins was right up there with those top two running backs. I had him up there. It was, for me, it was Taylor Dobbins at the top, of drafts prior to landing spots.
Yeah.
You know, and I still believe that. I think J.K. Dobbins absolutely has the talent to be able to do the things that Edwards-Helaire and Jonathan Taylor are doing. I think that system is still a really good system for him well. But dynasty managers who have drafted J.K. Dobbins expecting Clyde Edwards-Helaire or Jonathan Taylor production right away are probably sitting there like, son of a gun, right? They're a little upset about it. So if you can get him for a discount, this is a guy I'd be trying to acquire for seasons moving forward, especially if you're a team that you're probably not going to win the league this year. I think Dobbins is a guy that absolutely makes a ton of sense, because moving forward, this guy has the potential to be an absolute stud, in my opinion.
What are you going to send for him?
I'd still send a first easily.
You think Dobbins for a mid first gets it done?
Probably not. I'd probably send a first plus.
Okay.
I don't know if I'd start with a first plus a second. I'd probably send a first and a third and see.
Yeah. Right.
With the idea that I might go up to a second.
First with like Todd Gurley, you know, some old guy that's on your team that you don't really want anymore because he's not going to be much after that year. Maybe right. Gurley's a little higher end of that spectrum, but yeah, I see that because Dobbins was my favorite running back coming in. I freaking love the landing spot.
Yeah.
I didn't. Yeah, I'm with you. I did not see the Gus Edwards thing happening. But when Dobbins gets the ball, he does well. It's just they just don't want to unleash him yet. And right. I hope they do. Okay. Well, that is our trade four, which were both AFC North running backs. So let's go to our keep section, which we have another theme. And they're all quarterbacks. I'm going to go first since I didn't have a trade for a trade away. My keep is Matt Ryan because of a lot of things we said before. Weirdly, like after coaches get fired, teams seem to rally a little bit in the first place. Second of all, Julio will hopefully get healthy in sometime in the near future. And when Julio was healthy, that offense was, you know, throwing for 500 yards and four touchdowns a game. And I think there's no reason they can't go back to that, assuming, again, Julio gets healthy again. So I'm not panic selling Matt Ryan, even though I did sell Matt Ryan, but like Matt Ryan is like my hold. If my team were competing, I would not have done that. I would not panic sell him. Let's just jump right into it again. I sold Matt Ryan, David Johnson, and Greg Ward for what is going to be a very early first and a very late first. What do you think of that value, Andrew?
It's so tough where, I mean, it's not bad. I don't know really how to explain how I feel on it. But, I mean, if it's a late first, you're going to get somebody out of it.
Well, this dude is a very good assuming, like, implosion doesn't happen, this dude went on a buying spree this week, and he's in first place now, and he has the best roster. So, gotcha. Like, there's a very good chance he wins. So, I may get the 101 and 112 out of this.
Yeah. So, I mean, at that point, yeah, I'd be okay with it then at that point.
Yeah. And like, honestly, like I threw in David Johnson and Greg Ward for the hell of it.
I'm not high on either of them for the record.
Like David Johnson, like is perfect for his team because it's a wonderful depth, like RB3. Because David Johnson will get 10 points every week, and if he gets a touchdown, it's a little bit more. And Greg Ward will have those up and downs of whatever the Philly offense is. Right. So, and since I'm not trying to score points, it just made sense to throw all that away. And especially if it means I can get Trevor Lawrence on my team, and it looks like I'm headed that direction, so I'm pretty happy about it. Brian, any heavy thoughts on Matt Ryan, David Johnson, Greg Ward for a first, early first and late first?
No, I'm good with it.
Okay. All right. So let's move on to Brian. Why don't you talk about your keep?
Yeah, my keep is Sam Darnold. And here's the thing. I may be biased, but that sophomore season of his at USC just I can't stop thinking about it. I can't stop thinking about it and how damn good he was with a USC roster that wasn't all that good. I mean, yeah, Juju was on that team, but I
and now Juju's the wide receiver 3 on his own team. I mean, come on.
He was so good though, dude. Like he was making throws, and yes, it was college football, but Darnold had every tool. Still does have every tool needed to be successful in the National Football League.
Except for head coach.
That's the thing. The Jets are 0-4. Adam Gase is the head coach. If we know anything, if us Twitter scouts, coaches, managers, whatever you want to call us, knuckleheads, know anything, it's that Adam Gase sucks bad. He's terrible. He is a horrible football coach. He has done nothing in the National Football League without Peyton Manning, one of the greatest quarterbacks that's ever played the game. Mm-hmm. Peyton Manning basically gave Adam Gase multiple head coaching opportunities in this league, undeservedly so. I didn't even know if I said that word right. I'm so pissed right now. But I'm going to make you edit.
An hour and 20 damn minutes.
I tried, man.
I had not sworn. Listen, just because nobody else had.
Seriously, though.
No, don't start now.
Darnold has all the tools necessary. It would not shock me one bit if the second that Adam Gase gets out of there, if Sam Darnold becomes a legit, solid NFL starter. Maybe not superstardom, I don't know, but a legit, solid guy. We're like, man, look at the difference between Darnold post-Gase, and he's on his way out. They're 0-4 again. He should have been the first head coach fired this season. I don't care what anybody says. The Jets are an absolute shit show. If I was a New York Jets fan, I would probably switch teams. The New York football teams right now are just awful. The way they're run and the coaching and the raw, it's just a mess.
I was going to work on an article, but now you can save me from writing it because I'll just basically explain it here. Sam Darnold, I agree. The talent is there for Sam Darnold. Like, they thought Cleveland was going to take him one that year. Not Baker, not Saquon, not Josh Rosen.
Right.
Sam Darnold was going to be the first pick in that draft. And nobody would have been upset if that had happened. Sam Darnold, his first year in the league with Brian Bowles, finished as QB 27. Adam Gase was supposed to come in, be this quarterback guru with him, which I don't know why they thought he would be, made him quarterback 27. Last year, even with missing the games, he did improve. He got to quarterback 26. And if you look at Gase as a whole in his coaching career, post-Peyton Manning, quarterbacks average 16 points a game from a fantasy perspective, which ranks in the bottom third. I can't remember exactly where, but nowhere where you're going to roster him, essentially. I think Darnold with Kyle Shanahan would light it up in San Francisco. I think that's a perfect Kyle Shanahan type guy. And I'm not trying to throw all these quarterbacks at San Francisco, but I think
Everyone tried two years ago. Why not do it now?
Exactly. And Justin Herbert just threw a bomb touchdown as we're discussing this.
I just checked the stats and saw that he still had like 150 yards.
It hasn't happened yet for me here. I'm getting ready to watch it live. Here we go.
Mike Williams,
Herbert drops back. He throws long down the right sideline. Mike Williams wide open, hit in stride. And
all right, so I make amends on my Mike Williams make amends because right. It's happening.
But
hashtag Team Clemson big wide receiver.
And it's one of those things where I think he could go to San Francisco and he'd explode from a fantasy perspective. I think he could go on the flip side too. I had three teams in mind. Atlanta's another one. I think he could go to Atlanta if they want to move on from Matt Ryan, get a new face there, somebody like that, kind of do something there, or have him sit behind Ryan and kind of just get coached up until that contract gets a little bit more flexible. But the other one too, and it's – he had arguably his best game in recent memory after I was talking about writing this article. I think from doing his Gruden QB camps, I think Gruden would like to have Sam Darnold because Darnold throws the deep ball. And the biggest thing that fantasy players hate with Derek Carr is he won't take these chances and he won't do the deep balls. But then we just saw this week where he finally has healthy receivers and he can do that sort of thing. So, real life football made my article not make sense, but I still stand by. I think, like you said, Brian, it's really this whole team is just a cesspool because of the head coach. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy. And I think the reason he hasn't been fired is his good friend Joe Douglas is the GM, who, when you see him in person, like I have, looks like the Mountain from Game of Thrones. So I'm not going to upset him by any means. But yeah, it's just it's the Adam Gase thing with Darnold. I'm holding Darnold just like you said. I have him in two leagues. I am not playing him at all, but I'm still holding on to him in hopes that he escapes this or they bring in someone else. But they're not the problem. You got to think about too is coaches when they go to make a head coaching or when they go to get a head coaching job. Look at Matt Rhule. Matt Rhule did not want to go to the Jets because you had the Johnson family in charge between. But Johnson and Johnson doing their thing, and I can't remember what his first name is because there's two of their brothers. The one's the ambassador now for the UK, and the other one's letting this thing implode across the river in New Jersey. So it's really one of those things where they're probably going to get not the greatest head coach, but I think there's enough offensive guys. Like I think someone like a Byron Leftwich could take a shot and go up to New York and kind of be interesting with him up there, or someone like
everyone's going to say Eric Bieniemy to every
Bieniemy's not going to go to the Jets. I think Bieniemy is going to go to Houston.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, that was I think last week on this show. I think I kept saying it over and over again. Yep. Yeah,
because the McNair family is going to they step aside. They let them handle everything, and I think if Bieniemy doesn't go there, he goes to Minnesota. So, but yeah, it's one of the things where. Leftwich, I think, just top of my head, candidate-wise, would be fun to see go there. Or like someone like Mike LaFleur, who's the passing game coordinator in San Francisco.
Okay, so your keep is Justin Herbert, and I think we just found out why.
Yeah.
So we think he's for real.
Oh, 100%. Like, you guys beforehand gave me the inspiration for it, because I can't remember what I had originally. But there's a lot of temptation to trade. Like Brian has talked about with you two is going back and forth. I probably would have pulled the trigger on that first trade you talked about, but that's just me. But Brian's a wiser man than I, and I don't have any Herbert shares. So it's one of those things. I do have Tyrod shares though, but it's going to be one of those things where I think he at this point, and I tweeted it out tonight after the first half, he's the best rookie quarterback in this class playing wise right now. He's better than Burrow. And obviously having Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Hunter Henry, this offensive line, Austin Eckler, Justin Jackson, all helps. So he's going to have the weapons there. He's in a stable front office head coaching thing. That's something that I think a lot of people kind of forget about. And the reason I've been talking about it so much this show is Adam Gase has made me realize you've really got to look at the franchise as a whole as to what you're going to get out of your fantasy people. Because Le'Veon Bell, I didn't expect anything great out of Le'Veon Bell, but I bought him everywhere this offseason. Because I was like, there's no way that they're not going to use him this way. But when you've got him now liking tweets that are talking about, oh, two targets, SMH, and this and stuff like that, all this other cool, nifty stuff that the kids say nowadays. But it's just one of those things where Herbert's in a fantastic spot. And like, you talked about Brian. I think the price just went up two firsts after that last touchdown to Mike Williams. So, Sorry, Rusty. Back to you, buddy.
Well, I'm too busy crying. Okay, so that's our keep trades buys and all of that stuff and make amends. We've been going for somehow an hour and 20 minutes, so we're going to speed through some of these trades because I think they're interesting. And then we have one question that I want to get to. Well, we have one question and I want to get to it. Okay, so Trade Addicts 6. Yes, Trade Addicts 6. Jalen Reagor for an early 21 first.
Maybe the 21 first.
Where do you? Okay, stop making that noise. Where would you fit Reagor in with the wide receivers coming into this year?
Oh, coming into this year? Oh, not very high. I mean,
oh.
I wasn't a very big Reagor fan. And I think that's part of why Ray GQ doesn't follow me anymore. But that's another story for another day. But, like, if you look at – I just pulled up my rankings here. Like, I've got – man, if I were to throw Reagor in, he'd probably be wide receiver 10 in this class.
Wow. In the 21 class?
Yeah.
I mean, you have three pretty easy right away. Bateman, yeah, Chase, I mean, I Moore have, pretty easily.
Yeah,
would you take Chase more – you would take more over Reagor?
Rondale Moore, yes.
Oh, 100%.
He's so little, isn't he?
It doesn't matter.
Still,
yes, it does.
So damn good.
Reagor's, okay. I just wasn't a very big Reagor fan.
Okay, then you might be biased on this one. Jalen Reagor and a mid 21 first for Cooper Kupp.
See, to me, that one's easy. I'm taking Reagor in the first all day in that one.
I would still take Reagor in the first. Because I think at this point with that Rams offense, I think you get close to the same production when both are healthy out of those two, and then the first just kind of tips the scale.
Okay, interesting. Cool. All right, so funny story. 2 weeks ago, I was negotiating. This was before Cooper Kupp like scored touchdowns and had 100-yard games. And I left a trade out of Cooper Kupp for N'Keal Harry and Josh Kelly. And the second Tuesday morning hit, J Mike hit accept. And I'm like, oh, I forgot I left that out there. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry, man. You want to reverse? I'm like, no, absolutely not. You know, it was out there. You accepted it. That's fine. So I then flipped N'Keal Harry and Josh Kelly for Keenan Allen. So I pretty much traded Cooper Kupp for Keenan Allen.
Well done.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, I think he hurt his back this game, which sucks a little bit, but still got a couple of points before. Is he out there now? I don't think he's out
there. No, he was ruled out the rest of the game.
Okay, just checking. Okay, so let's get into this. Some of this Trade Addicts 8 madness. Now, this is one of the reasons that I think trading back and getting future picks during a startup is the best move you could ever make, because this is the same guy trading away the picks. He traded an early first and 3 seconds for Amari Cooper.
Dude, Alvin Kamara just made a catch on the sideline that I don't know that many wide receivers can make. Like, this is ridiculous.
I know Jalen Reagor can't because he doesn't have hands.
Did you? Well, he can jump over people though. So if it maybe stick to the gloves, dude. Like, that was a hell of a catch. Yeah, he went right over nice. That dude's helmet. All right, sorry, I didn't mean to do it to you, Russ. I get excited about.
I
good
do that too.
Players.
I do that to you whenever I'm watching the game, and that happens anyway. Okay, so Amari Cooper for an early first in 3 seconds.
I'm taking the picks.
Well, again, this was before this week's game, so Amari Cooper was like the wide receiver one.
Oh, I mean, still, like you talked about, or I think it was Brian you were talking about, you think Cooper's going to be the odd man out. It's one of those things where, I mean, even with before, like Cooper's so hit or miss, and he's obviously been better because they've been airing the ball out, but they've also been down a lot. I would still take the picks, especially you get an early first and 3 seconds. Yeah, no, that's, I would take that in a heartbeat.
So what hurts my feeling is that it was my first. That's someone else that I traded to someone during the startup. And then my team imploded. So now that's why it's early, sadly enough. I think I'm in 9th out of 12. What about you, Brian? Cooper for an early first in 3 seconds?
I think it's close. I think it's really close.
I think it's right. I think that's
yeah, I do too. Spend. I think and that's about right.
Okay, so again, same guy trading picks away. He traded 3 22 firsts for Lamar Jackson and Nyheim Hines.
Jackson. That's so far away, dude.
Yeah, that's yeah. And if you look at 2022, I'm not as into Devy as much, but just to look ahead like quarterback, and you've got Spencer Rattler, Bo Nix, other guys I can't think of off the top of my head.
Sam Howell is the name.
Sam Howell, yes, thank you. So if you're, I was just looking at replacing Jackson because you're going to replace Himes a lot better, or Himes, excuse me. See, it's Pittsburgh in me. You can replace Himes a lot quicker than you can replace Jackson.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you could get one of those three guys, I mean, you still not, you traded away the MVP.
Are we worried the fact that he hasn't scored over 20 points since week one? That's a lot of middle fingers to the screen, to the TV.
Taysom Hill just scored a touchdown for New Orleans Saints. He deserves middle fingers every
Taysom Hill week. Won me the Cartoon Do-Gooders League last year, so I can't even be upset.
This is my year for that one.
You got lucky this year. It's my lone loss, sir.
Yeah, I think it would be 3-2. I think I'm losing this week, but besides the point. Like, are we worried about Lamar Jackson, where the fact that he hasn't scored 20 points since week one?
I'm not. They're still building around him. I mean, you've got Marquise Brown. Mark Andrews obviously has the connection. You talked about with J.K. Dobbins. Once Ingram's gone, I don't know what his contract situation is, but he's older. I think once you get Dobbins back in there full speed, like week one, Dobbins was the guy, and they beat Cleveland 30-3.
Well, he's a goal line guy.
Right. So, but once he gets a bigger role and everything, I'm not worried about Lamar.
What about you, Brian?
I'm not either. I mean, the only game all of their games outside of the Chiefs game that they lost have been blowouts. I mean, they've beaten the shit out of teams. So he's not, I mean, they're not needing Lamar to ramp up and be Lamar Jackson, win us this game. Now, Kansas City game, he should have been that, and he was not. Yeah,
but that is something we have to worry about fantasy-wise, right? Like, as an NFL quarterback, that's not something you worry about, but, you know, he was taken 1-on-1 in some drafts. That is worrisome, right?
Well, oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, probably. I mean, yeah. I mean, I think, look, if you're drafting him at 101, 102, which is where he – or 104 or whatever.
Top four, because, usually the two running backs and the two quarterbacks would go in the top four.
Then you're anticipating that he's going to perform to that standard. I mean, he hasn't finished as a top five quarterback yet, I don't think. In this season. So he might have week one, I'm not sure. But so, you know, you're frustrated right now because you're not getting the ROI, right? The return on investment. I'm not overly concerned. I don't think this is the new norm. It could be. I mean, four games, five games. I mean, we're a quarter of the way through the season now. So you know, I understand the panic. I'm just not going for it. I don't typically overreact like that to things, except the one thing that we're going to get into here in a minute, I think.
Yeah, and I just pulled up the Ravens schedule real quick to look at where the madness may go. This week they play the Eagles, which Ben just lit up, so in theory Lamar should as well. But then after that you have Pittsburgh, Colts, Patriots, Titans, Steelers again. So, I mean, that's going to be a tough five-week stretch to where you're really going to know whether you want to be in or out, I think, at that point, just because, like you talked about, the return on investment aspect. But when you look at the playoffs, though, for this year, the last three games of the year are Jacksonville, the Giants, and the Bengals. That's so Lamar could be crap all year. You make it into the playoffs, and then you go on a run. So,
all right. Okay. I have two shares, and I'm legitimately a little bit worried. Like, we knew coming in that he wasn't going to do what he did last year. Like, you don't break fantasy football 2 years in a row, pretty much. And especially with mobile quarterbacks, people get tape. People figure things out. People find ways to work spies and not take away the run, but at least limit it a little bit. And so, like, I didn't think he was going to do what he did last year, but this is lower than what I expected. So I was a little bit worried. But I'm glad neither of you. Makes me feel a little better. All right, so let's get into this one listener question that we have. It is from @noobengineer_. And his question was, so I acquired Metcalf in a trade a couple of weeks ago. I like my team going forward, but with all this Metcalf is the number one dynasty wide receiver talk, should I be looking to move him? Whenever I have a guy like this, I'm never sure when to hold on and stay in the flames or sell high.
All right, I'm going to Tracy Lawrence this shit. No, no. No, 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 hell no, 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 no.
Tracy Morgan.
Isn't that what I said?
You said Tracy Lawrence.
Tracy Morgan.
I was wondering.
See, that's me, dude. That's me. That is a horror thing to do.
I'm picturing right Tracy Morgan with Trevor Lawrence's hair doing that now, by the
that
way.
Would that's be amazing.
That's what just happened. I would not sell DK Metcalf right now. Honestly, I would pay the price to go buy more DK Metcalf.
Me too.
I'll be honest.
You have to hold this show and not put it out until Wednesday.
It's probably not going to happen, but since the offseason, I've been trying to buy DK Metcalf, and I'm not going to stop. If someone is going to use this as a sell high, I will probably fall for it on a couple of teams for sure, because I believe what we are seeing is real. And we're for some reason blown away at Russell Wilson's quarterback play. Why? He's literally always done this.
Yep.
He just has better people now. DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett is better than Doug Baldwin and Paul Richardson. I mean, that's just sort of the way that's what it is. So yeah, no, I firmly believe in DK Metcalf. I am holding him. I'm building my teams around him. I am going and buying him so I could build my teams around him.
Well, and what's crazy too, I'm just pulling up his game log real quick. Week one, he's 5 yards away from 100. Week two, 8. And then this last week was 7. So he's literally one catch away in 3 weeks from having 100 yards each week this year.
99.2 yards per game.
Yeah.
Yeah, and exactly.
The biggest concern people have is the 4 catches. But
yeah, we
knew that coming in though. Right. Well, that's that's what Russell Wilson is. His volume's been pretty decent, but still it's low volume but insane efficiency.
But he's 39 targets. So, I mean, he's getting the targets too. It's just only 22 catches.
Yeah, but a lot of them are going to be deep targets where.
Exactly.
70, 15, 87, and 16 is the pace.
That's pretty baller.
Yeah. I mean, you'd be very happy with that.
Oh, so that is our only question, but that is not the end of our show sheet, because underneath that question, go ahead, Andrew.
Brian, I want to have a score prediction for this weekend, because we do we do have a Steelers fan on, and they play this week.
Where they play?
Pittsburgh.
All right. Score prediction for the game. I will say 30-23 Steelers.
I'm going to go 28-24 Cleveland.
That's actually real. I was going to say 32-27 Cleveland. I don't know if Cleveland's going to score that much, but I really just want to make them lose, make the Steelers lose, just because I'm talking to Brian about it. And because I like Baker, so I want him to do well.
Well, here's the thing. Andrew, this is not directed at you or any of my friends who
take
are Browns
personal
fans.
Offense.
So
to what he's about to say.
Trader Joe or Josh Brickner or, you know, whoever else out there is Browns fans. This is not a personal shot. This is just collectively, right? So Steelers fans collectively are a bunch of assholes and are annoying as shit. Yinzer fans are dumb and stupid and annoying. Okay.
The truest thing I've heard all year.
So I'm just putting that out there as a preference here, or as a preface here.
Yes.
Before I say this, if Cleveland beats Pittsburgh this weekend in Pittsburgh to go 5-1, they'll jump Pittsburgh. You're right. They'll jump Pittsburgh into first place in the division. They will be having parades and hoisting fake Lombardi trophies in Cleveland next week. And then when they finish 7-9,
exactly.
And then when they finish 7-9, and the Steelers are 12-4 and hosting a first round playoff game, probably, because I still think Baltimore is going to find a way to win that division. Then I'll just be smiling, and they'll be moving on to their 28th quarterback since Ben Roethlisberger was drafted or something.
I was moved on after week one. I was like, I don't want him. This is not going to work. I was like, Baker's not it. And then I realized all you had to do is just take the ball out of his hands. And
Joe wants so badly. Joe wants so badly for me to. He asked me when I would respect the Browns, and I said when they win eight games. When the Browns win eight games in a season, I will give a tip of the cap, and say, hey, it's been a pretty darn nice season for you.
He's been insanely consistent about that. Actually,
he has. Yes, he has. I have.
My final 3 points on the Browns as a whole in this game, I 100% yes, I will be annoying, especially because where I live, like I work retail. I have customers come in and they comment to me, hey, the Browns are 2-1 now. They're 3-1 and 4-1. And I had off today, so nobody has seen me since they're 5-1. But I'm known as the Browns guy at work. Jeff Lloyd has talked about, I believe he lives in Jersey. He's mm-hmm. known as the Browns guy there. And it's one of those things where I have seen my Capitals win a Stanley Cup. I have seen my Cavaliers win an NBA title. The Browns simply making the playoffs would be greater than both of those.
You know what happened last time the Browns made the playoffs?
Kelly Holcomb almost beat the Steelers.
Kelly Holcomb led the Browns to like a 31-14 lead, and Chris yes. Malamafu Malafala, or whatever the hell his name is, led Keep the Steelers back in the snow to win that game 36-33.
Yeah. So
Andrew, I love you, buddy. I'm just poking fun.
No, 100%. And then like today, Dustin Fox, who covers the Browns for ESPN, talked about that the Football Power Index has them at a 76.4% chance to make the playoffs. And I immediately responded, so there's 23.6% that we don't, which mm-hmm. is still more than what I feel comfortable with. So, and like, and the 1 year they went 10-6 in 2007 with Derek Anderson. And they missed the playoffs then because they didn't get a wild card because Pittsburgh won the division because they won both games that year and they had the same record, I believe. And to talk about too with that Kelly Holcomb game, Bruce Arians in his book says that's his favorite game he's ever coached for a quarterback was the Kelly Holcomb game against Pittsburgh because Holcomb was such a gamer that whole time because who was their first round pick out of Kentucky? Couch. Got hurt the last week of the season, and Holcomb had to start on short notice. And
he muted himself in the middle of making an awesome point. He mutes himself.
I don't even know how I did that. It's basically probably Cleveland just telling me to stop while I'm ahead. So that's
okay. Well, that is actually the end of our show sheet. So this is going to be the end of our show. And what a wonderful note to end on. But before we do start wrapping up, why don't you, Andrew, tell people who you are, what you do, and where they could find all the articles Brian was reading instead of listening to us talk.
So I knew this question was going to be asked. And obviously I was looking up like ads and everything. And I'm going to get personal here. I got a text in the middle of doing that. And I got where my wife told me, my sister tested positive for COVID today, and she's in college. I don't care where you find me at. I don't care if you read my article or not. Wear a damn mask and be safe. That's all I want out of everything with this. She's fine. She's got a stuffy nose. She can't taste her food. She's resting up in her dorm with my Disney Plus, Netflix, and Hulu logins and frozen food deliveries. So she'll be fine. But there's still hundreds of thousands of people that aren't fine, and there's millions more affected every day. And I'm not – this isn't me getting off the wheels here from fantasy. I got a platform, and I thought today I'm going to use it.
Damn straight. And to completely take this off of a serious note, because that's what I do, I need to be that person that gets everyone else's passwords. Like, seriously, I'm the one that gives my passwords out to everybody. Like, I need to – I want at least one where I am taking advantage of someone else's.
I have my buddy's WWE network, and that is the only thing I don't pay for because I don't want to pay for it.
Yeah.
So whenever I want some nostalgia in my life, I'll turn it on. So,
all right, so if anyone actually pays for the Peacock network and they want to give me their login so I could watch Parks and Rec without commercials.
I get it.
Ask for that in your Justin Herbert trade negotiations then.
Ooh, okay.
Saquon Barkley for Peacock login.
Parks and Rec might be worth Saquon Barkley.
Hey.
Okay. Well, wow. A whole new level of negotiations. So what do we talk about?
Where to find people.
FFPodShirts.storeMV.com. Get all your swag from all these amazing pods and all these amazing websites.
Sticker of my beard.
Sticker of his hair and beard, which, yeah, I have on my... I wish like I had a way to show my laptop on a screen or something because, you know, that's where my camera is. I can't really do that. But, yeah, I have Andrew's sticker on my laptop. But FFPodShirts.storeNV.com. We have stickers, T-shirts, mugs of probably half the podcasts you listen to because that's just what we do. Every penny goes to charity. And, Brian, why don't you talk about the charity for the rest of the month?
Yeah, so it is Operation Underground Railroad, and it's a charity that fights against human trafficking, which is a very real and very serious thing that goes untalked about quite a bit. So let's kind of stop slavery and trading of people and value human life. So, yeah, if you buy a shirt, it's going to a really good cause. So help us out there.
Right. But also speaking of buying shirts and going to a really good cause, we have our James the Brain collection on there in honor of James Cotulla's James the Brain. I sent yesterday, I believe it was $180 over to the Cotulla's family just from t-shirts and stickers sales. But man, keep buying. It will go straight to their family. I will send them money every week if I have to. So go buy a shirt, buy a sticker because that's what I do. I sell stickers because I like stickers. Also we have patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. Be a member of the Cool Kids Club, our GroupMe chat, watch us live stream. You could jump in on the conversation if you feel so inclined. Also buy our wristbands. Our, man, Brian doesn't ever wears them anymore. They are neon green and navy blue. Say Trade Addicts Pod. Have a picture of a football on them. Yeah. $5 each, and $2 of each will go also to Operation Underground Railroad. So get some cool stuff and give to a good charity. And on that note, good night, fellas.
Night, boys.
Good luck Sunday, Brian.
You too, buddy.
Ooh, doesn't even say good night. He's just like, you. He did like, you know, it's really tough because I am a patron and you could see that what I'm doing, like, you know, you point to your eyes and then you point to the other guys. Like, I'm watching. I got my eyes on you. Yeah. Okay. I should have hit stop already. I'm going to hit stop now.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast. Please remember to follow our host at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian Bar. Please review, subscribe, and rate the podcast. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.